Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches. Napa!
Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide. Napa!
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network presents NASCAR Live Wide Open.
Off the end of the back straightaway, Larson's going to send it. Larson's in the wall. Larson's on Hamlin's back bumper. Logano leads down the back straightaway. Keselowski's in line. Now he turns him. Both Team Penske cars crash. Keselowski is up in a ball of flame.
NASCAR Live Wide Open is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another installment of NASCAR Live Wide Open here on the Motor Racing Network. Mike Bagley and the entire MRN crew here with you as we've come off a busy and intense Bristol weekend. We're getting set to make a run into Circuit of the Americas. It's triple header action this weekend, and there's going to be a lot of names that either a lot of you don't know about, have never heard of, or been like, oh yeah, I remember that individual. Seems like that the quote unquote road course ringers hop up out of the woodwork when we come to road courses like COTA. And we're going to be chatting with one of those individuals in just a moment. Before we do, we're also going to be embarking on short track season coming up. Once we leave COTA, it's off to Martinsville and then Richmond. Here's a little personal recommendation from the Bagman. We always talk about taking kids to ballparks this time of year. Opening day has already happened, and the ballparks are going to be firing up. But there's a lot of short tracks that are going to be firing up over the course of the next month, month and a half or so, depending on where you are in the country. I would encourage you, take a kid to a short track. Take a kid to a racetrack. Expose the youth to what we do week in and week out. Let's generate and develop some new race fans out there. It's always a blast when we get that first breath of spring, because when we get that first breath of spring, it's always right behind it, that first breath of short track racing. So be sure you take a kid to a short track. Patronize those men and women at the grassroots levels and keep that part of the motorsports food chain alive. Well, COTA is getting ready to come to life this weekend. Triple header action. Trucks will kick us off on Saturday, and there will be one name that is going to make an impact. Jack Hawksworth. Of course, he came off that big win at Sebring last week. He's going to be in the truck race Saturday, his first truck start, and he's going to be doing it for Tricon Garage. Let's go to the NASCAR Live Wide Open Zoom hotline and bring in the driver of the number one Mobil 1 Toyota Tundra for Tricon Garage. Jack Hawksworth is with us. Jack, welcome to NASCAR Live Wide Open. How are we doing?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me. Super excited for this weekend. And yeah, looking forward to give this truck thing a go.
Well, before we talk trucks, let's talk sports cars and Sebring. 12 hours of Sebring. It's a legendary race. It's a classic race. And a race that gave us a lot to talk about. You went to victory lane, but the last 4 hours of that race were absolutely insane. Walk us through it. Tell us about your day and how you ended up taking the checkered flag.
Yeah, completely. It was an unbelievable weekend for us. Like you say, it's such a special race, right? Like it's, I think it was the 72nd running of it. So much history there. And 12 hours around Sebring is no joke, right? The track's super bumpy, the conditions are super hot, it's very technical, it's hard on the drivers, hard on the cars. And then you obviously got darkness to deal with there at the end as well, along with, you know, 60 other cars out there. So yeah, it's always mad, but this year especially it was super crazy. The last 4 hours was an all-out war, really, in the GT Pro category, and we had some really good fights there at the end with the Ferrari, the Corvette, and I've had to pinch myself a few times this week to make sure that actually happened, because it was pretty amazing. So I have to say big thank you to everybody at Vass Sullivan and Lexus. They gave me a great car, my teammates Ben and Kyle, but yeah, it was awesome, and what a way to do it, eh?
The ending was so intense. I could sense the elbows going up in that car. What was the turning point? What led to that happening? And then, because, I mean, sports car racing, not known for an overly aggressive nature, but it seemed like it turned into that way towards the end.
For sure. Well, I mean, it's funny with these long races, right? Because it all comes down, IMSA races, they all seem to, there's a 12-hour race or 24-hour race, and you can lose it in the first 10, but you can win it in the last two, right? And that's kind of what happened at Sebring. Until it got dark, everyone was pretty sensible, and we were all, trying to look after our equipment. And then as soon as it got to that last hour and we had some restarts, it was everybody was going all out. And look, we're here with big manufacturers, and we're here to win. And everybody wants to get to the checkered flag first. So it definitely was elbows out. It was very hard racing, but it was fair racing. And we wanted to win. I wanted to win. We'd been up front all day, and the guys have done such a mega job. Ben and Kyle, my teammates, had kept us up front all day, and the team had been spotless all day as well. So I didn't want to let them down, and I was going to do everything in my power there at the end to try and get that thing across the line in first.
Well, it was a heck of a run. Congratulations on that. And what seems to be the case in the motorsports world, you celebrate a win, but you quickly turn your attention to the next challenge. And your next challenge is one that you've never been a part of before, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. First of all, what is your perceived reputation of the Truck Series as one that's about to race in their first race?
Well, I mean, it's, to be honest, like, stock cars and NASCAR is something I've always been really interested in. Like, I love, kind of a bit like the end of this Sebring race, right? Like, it's very intense. There's, a lot of rubbing and a bit of beating and banging and whatnot, and that kind of excites me. So I've watched quite a bit of the truck races, and obviously I did have an Xfinity start in 2019, and I really enjoyed that. So I'm super excited. I know some of the drivers in it. I don't know all of them, but I said it actually to the team last week. What excites me about this is that I'm going there with a really good team in a really good truck, and I've got the opportunity to compete with really good equipment. And whenever you can do that in any series, that's really exciting for the driver. So I'm just kind of looking forward to experiencing something new, and hopefully performing well.
For those that don't know, Jack will be driving the number one truck, the Mobile One Toyota Tundra for Tricon Garage. Very successful team that's heading in the right direction. I guess for you, you had that Xfinity start a few years ago, but the cars you normally drive are very light, very nimble. These trucks are very heavy and very lumbering and laboring. How do you bridge the gap between what you normally race in versus what you're going to run for the first time?
For sure, yeah. They got these trucks, they have a lot of power, but they got less tire, they got, like you say, less downforce, they're heavier. They haven't got as much electronic assistance in the GT cars. We have ABS, traction control, lots of stuff we can do, I guess, to adjust the car on the fly. We got flappy paddles instead of the H pad. So there's a lot more, it's a lot more raw is the truck, let's say. And I'm really looking forward to that. For me, the biggest challenge is going to be not to overdrive it. Coming from a car where you can really push the corner entries and you can push the braking zones, getting into the truck is all going to be about finding that limit. And for sure, that limit is going to be a lower limit than what I'm used to in the sports car. If I try to drive it the way I drive the sports car, I'm going to be over the top of the tire and, overdriving the truck. So, I'm just going to have to adapt. But it's a challenge I'm looking forward to. And I really like the fact that there's no electronics. I really like the fact that we got H pattern gearbox and that stuff. Like, something different for me and something I don't get to do a lot of. So that side of it, I'm super stoked for.
You're obviously going to have some practice. You're going to have some time to shake the truck down. What other preparations have you done before you get to the racetrack? to get you ready for Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we get the 20-minute practice and we get qualifying, so I'll be able to use that really to kind of get up to speed and get a feel for the truck and a feel for what to expect come race day. But to this point, the biggest thing I've done is a lot of simulator. I've watched quite a bit of video and just spent some time with the team really and kind of picked their brains about what to expect from the weekend and what to expect from the truck and stuff. So the simulator stuff is very helpful. Obviously it gets closer all of the time in terms of the realism, but nothing beats being in the real car. But I certainly at least have an idea in my head of like gear selection, corner speeds, braking zones and stuff like that. So video, simulator, and yeah, just what I watched a couple of the races over the last 2 years as well to kind of see how it all goes down on the restarts and stuff like that, and done as much as I can. But yeah, I'll certainly be using Friday to kind of get my feet wet and understand it all, and yeah, get ready for Saturday.
You've raced in motorsports venues around the world. You've raced at many. Where does COTA, doesn't matter if it's sports car, trucks, whatever, what is COTA like? It seems to be a flowing road course. How would you assess it? Flowing, but technical all at the same time.
Yeah, it's very technical. It's a typical Formula One circuit in the sense that there's a lot of runoff. It's kind of the opposite to Sebring in that regard, right? Like there's, you know, you have runoff on the edge of the track and there's room to kind of make mistakes and things and get away with it. But in terms of driving, it's very technical. There's a lot of switchback corners. You've got some high-speed sections at the beginning. You've got the tight hairpins, the stadium section. So it's really got a bit of everything. And it's such a long lap that it's very easy to make a mistake. You know, once or twice a lap, you lock up a brake here or you get a little bit wide there. And it's all very, the whole track is kind of connected really, right? So it's technical, very European-style race circuit. But one that I enjoy driving, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Where are the spots on the racetrack where you feel you can make up ground? I know you want to get the braking right. You don't want to overcook the truck going into some of the corners, but this track features a couple of overtaking zones, a couple of heavy braking zones. Are they the number one spots to pass?
Yeah, for sure. I think you've got turn one, turn 11, and then I think it's turn 12 at the end of the back straight. I think that's where you're going to see most of your passing. You've got really big, long braking zones in these trucks and big straights. So that's going to set up well for overtaking. And then in terms of making up time and losing time, that section at the beginning, the S's, it's so easy to get it wrong through there. If you get offline just a little bit for, say, the first part of it, then you're going to kind of be offline for the rest of it. Whilst if you can just get that perfect and you can be nice, clean and tidy through there, then that's going to pay off. So big hairpins for the overtaking and the outbraking manoeuvres, and then the first section of the track to really gain and lose time, I think.
Does COTA need a high finesse factor? I know that some guys just, you know, send it on in there and kind of, you know, get those elbows up and get moving people around. But is there something to be said for exercising some finesse?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I've obviously got limited experience in a stock car, but for me, coming from the GT car and from like an open wheel background, driving these stock cars, it requires a lot of finesse, right? Because you haven't got as much downforce, you've not got as much grip, and they're easy to overdrive. So I feel like if you push too hard, it's very easy to burn the tires off, burn the brakes off. And so, yeah, I think, I mean, I'm going to find out this weekend, right? But in my head, I'm thinking finesse will pay off, hopefully.
You talked about how you know, you've been following NASCAR for a while. You've had a curiosity about that. When did that curiosity begin? When did NASCAR pop up on your radar screen?
Well, I think I've always known about NASCAR. Growing up in England, I remember playing, I think it was NASCAR 95 on my PC or something like that. So that was probably my first like memory of NASCAR racing. And then coming over to the States in 2012, and then joining Lexus and Toyota at the in 2017. At that point, then obviously Toyota have a massive involvement in the NASCAR series, and so now it was kind of more, I guess, open to the NASCAR world a little bit. And I was teammates with Kyle Busch at the 24 Hours of Daytona, things like that. So I've just naturally mixed in that world a little bit more. Yeah, since then I've really enjoyed watching it, and the thought of getting out there and yeah, having a race with these guys is one which yeah, excites me.
You know what's amazing is that recently we see drivers from other disciplines of motorsports come race with us. Shane Van Gisbergen, you're coming over. Like, Ed Jones, we've got Kamui Kobayashi this weekend. You've had other drivers from other forms of motorsports come over. Is that for professional curiosity? Is it something that maybe is a bucket list item? What intrigues other drivers from other disciplines to come race with us?
I think it's just a different challenge, right? Like NASCAR is quite unique in the way the cars are very unique, right? The H pattern gearboxes, the sequential gearboxes, they've got a lot of power. They're a bit heavier, not as much downforce as maybe we're used to all the time. The racing's very aggressive. It's very exciting to watch. So I think for guys from Europe and guys from other series, we look at it and we think it looks fun, and we think it looks like a new challenge, right? As a racing driver, you always want to put yourself in situations where you may be up against it a little bit, or you got to figure something out or learn something. And I think NASCAR is just a little bit different to everything else we do. So for me personally, like, I look at it and I think, this is something different and something exciting where I can hopefully learn something, but at the same time perform well and just kind of experience something new. So I think it's a great series, and the road course stuff's obviously got a bit bigger. I think recently in NASCAR they've added more road courses to the schedule, which I think also has kind of maybe increased that crossover a little bit. Because I'm under no illusion the ovals are very, very different to what we do on the sports car side, but the road course side is a lot closer, and I think that's where you get that crossover.
You've obviously got commitments in the sports car world, but once you leave COTA, is more NASCAR racing an option or a possibility for you?
I mean, you never know in the future, right? Like, stuff develops quickly. But for me, like, I really enjoy sports car racing. I really enjoy where I'm at right now. And my target's IMSA championships and these big endurance wins. That's for sure, first and foremost. But I'd love to experience an oval one day in a NASCAR. And, I'd love to do, a few road courses every year. So, certainly, I'm very interested in it, but at the same time, would I want to do 38 races a year? I'm not sure, but it's something which, in addition to what I'm doing, it excites me.
Well, we wish you the best, my friend. You're going to have a blast. COTA's a great racetrack, world-class racetrack, Tricon Garage, the team you're racing with, world-class team. All the ingredients are there. We hope you're able to put all that together. Have a great run. Maybe even take a trip to Victory Lane. Appreciate you joining us. All the best in your trip to Texas this weekend.
Awesome. Really excited to be there. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's Jack Hawksworth. Could he hit maybe 2-for-2 territory? One at Sebring, perhaps maybe winning at COTA. We'll all find out together. Motor Racing Network will have the call for you on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Earlier this week, before we let you go, I want to take you into a conversation that our Chris Milner had with Alan Gustafson. He's the crew chief for Chase Elliott at Hendrick Motorsports, off their first top 10 finish this past weekend at Bristol. I want to take you into that conversation that Chris and Alan shared this week at the headquarters of Hendrick Motorsports.
All right, Alan, now that we've had a chance to digest Bristol, I know there was a lot of unknowns and a lot of things kind of crept up on you guys. How do you evaluate what happened on Sunday and maybe what's going to happen again when we go back, in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was certainly a very interesting race, and, having to conserve tires put a different dynamic into the weekend, which was a fun challenge that, it's maybe a little uncomfortable at times to know your race can be significantly hampered or really over from wearing your tires out. But I think once everybody got to grips with what's going on and understood it was a fun challenge and exciting.
So when you look at the challenge that was Bristol, what do we expect now when we go back to a Richmond and a Martinsville? I mean, obviously, I think Goodyear is going to have things a little bit differently. And obviously, those racetracks behave a little bit differently. But now what's the challenge when we go back short track racing here in a few weeks?
Yeah, I think that Bristol's, probably that situation is a bit of a one-off. So we'll see where that goes. But, happy mistake, maybe you want to call it. It showed really what potential there is if you have significant tire wear. So I think as a great learning experience for us, and I think as a sport, we can really learn from that and add that dynamic back to the sport, you know, and, you know, maybe at that level or maybe not at that level, but certainly more significantly than it exists now.
Five races in, what grade would you evaluate with the 9 team, especially coming off of first top 10 of the season, kind of getting some of the momentum back as we head to the grind?
Yeah, I'm really happy with the team dynamic, the energy, the effort that's going into it. You know, I think it's just hard to say one global grade, but I think we've done really well there. I think the pace in the cars, the speed in the cars has been really good and solid. I'm really happy with that. And then I think we need to do a little better job of translating that speed into the finishes that we should deserve or should get, you know. So I think in a lot of ways we've done really well, and I think we need to translate that performance, you know, on and off the racetrack and on pit, on and off pit road into better finishes.
And we get to go road racing, which I know Chase is excited about, but what is the challenge of COTA? Because it is so long, it is so technical. Setting up a race car for all those different elements has got to be a challenging part.
Yeah, COTA is awesome. I love that place. It's, like you said, it's big, it's fast, it's got so many different types of corners. You can't just say, hey, there's, you know, I'm going to be good here. You know, you really have to be good in a lot of different situations, not only in corner dynamics, but, you know, speed of the car, the braking zones, you know, uphill braking zone, which is super dramatic. So, I think there's a lot of challenges there. I think you just have to be, you know, pretty good at all of them. And I'm excited about it. So excited to get back there and get to racing.
Restart zone there is all the way at the end of turn 22. So how does that change things? I know these restarts are always crazy at COTA, but how does that change things?
I hope it changes a little bit. I just, you know, what it turned into last year just was, you know, a bit absurd in my opinion. Just it needs to be more about, you know, what I consider is racing, not, you know, just going and crashing guys and, you know, bonsai on the inside. So I hope that helps. You know, we may need to get more aggressive on the restart zone and get it back around the last corner. We'll see. I think this is a good push in the right direction, but I still think you're going to get, you know, dive bombs into the corner and some contact. You're just hoping it's not like I-77, you know, like, you know, merge there that we had last year.
So this season, obviously, any new season's exciting, but for the 40th of Hendrick Motorsports, obviously we're here getting to look at all the memorabilia in the museum. What comes to mind when you think of the history and being a part of so many great memories here over the course of your career and your time here?
I think the first thing is the people, just the opportunity to work with so many amazing people and the relationships that I've been able to build with those people. I cherish that, and, you know, all the stories and all the experiences. And, you know, it's funny because you don't really you remember them, but like the, you know, winning a race or this isn't what comes to your mind. It's a lot of times the adversity or some of the struggles or some of the, you know, fun experiences and you know, the kind of quirky things or relationships or, yeah. So, super blessed to be a part of an organization that, you know, stands for what it does and the way that Mr. Hendrick leads this place. So, enjoyed every minute of it.
You have to pinch yourself sometimes, especially, you know, when you're in here and you get to see some of the stuff, because he keeps pretty much something from everything at this point. So do you kind of look back and say, man, that was cool?
Yeah, it is. But you just get so, you know, all of us just get so enthralled into what is like super important in this second of the day or this minute of the day. And it's really nice to be able to step back and reflect and look at some of the things and jog your memory and look at it a bit, you know, from a bigger view, from a bigger perspective and a bigger body of work. And it's, you know, it's nice. I mean, there's a lot of people who have worked as hard as I have and had a career in racing and have had to experience way, way less. So I certainly feel extremely fortunate about that.
You know, Chase could make an impact this weekend as well. We'll all find out together what happens in the Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix. Our friends at the Performance Racing Network will have the call. Let's get you squared away on the odds. Producer Trey is here with the odds breakdown of this weekend's racing festivities. Trey?
Well, Mike, heading into this weekend at COTA, I think that there's an obvious favorite, and Vegas agrees with me. It is the guy who dominated this race last year. It's Tyler Reddick. He sits at plus 450 or 4.5 to 1. Right behind him is another former COTA winner, Chase Elliott. Vegas thinks he could be live to get his first victory of the season, and in that long winless streak, he is plus 750. And then right behind them, Vegas doesn't want to take the same hit they took last year in Chicago. Shane Van Gisbergen making his Cup Series debut with Colic Racing, his first race of the year after running those couple races for Trackhouse last year. He is the third favorite at plus 900. If you're asking me where I'm going with the pick, I'm going with Reddick. I think it's just hard to pick against him the way that he ran at COTA last year and the way that he's ran at all road courses recently in this next-gen car. I think it's probably between him and Michael McDowell as far as who is the current best road racer in NASCAR. I think just the way that he performed last year, it's very hard to go against Reddick this weekend at COTA. I think we see our sixth different winner in as many races this season. A couple of long shots, though, even though I think the favorite's going to win. Austin Cindric, he's got a couple of top 10s at COTA. He's all the way down at 28 to 1. Cindric looking to turn things around. Very good start to the season, a couple of bad weeks. He's going to be live at 28 to 1. And then another driver who is good at road courses could pull one of these off, Chase Briscoe. He's all the way down at 55 to 1. So I think Cindric and Briscoe, good road racers. Those are the long shots I like. But ultimately, as I said, I think Tyler Reddick goes back to back at Circuit of the Americas.
Like that Tyler Reddick pick, to me, he is the number one guy. Vegas thinks so. The stat book thinks so. We'll see if Tyler Reddick is able to go back to back at Circuit of the Americas Sunday in the Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix. Again, don't forget NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series coverage coming your way on MRN. The Expel 225, 1 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. Don't forget NASCAR Live Tuesday night, 7 Eastern. We're back for another download here for NASCAR Live Wide Open next Thursday. Until then, for producer Trey and the rest of the MRN crew, I'm Mike Bagley. Thank you so much for the download. We'll chat with you next week again right here on NASCAR Live Wide Open. Until then, so long, everybody.
NASCAR Live Wide Open is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy four tires, Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Money stop here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.